Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. And if you are an author listening to today's interview and would like to be featured on the network, please visit speakuptalkradio.com for all of the details or contact us at pr@speakuptalkradio.com. And right now, I have a very busy woman with me. She is both a writer and a provider of author services. She is Jen Fitzgerald. Jen has loved romance since her Winnie the Pooh days. Christopher Robin and Piglet have always been platonic soulmates. As a teen, Jen cut her romance teeth on Silhouette's teen romance line and Danielle Steel books concurrently. She's still an avid reader, but these days, Jen has added writing romances of her own and is currently pursuing publication. She has 4 books slated to hit the virtual bookshelves in June, followed by 2 more in the following 3 months. In between her reading, her writing, and her day job, Jen also proofreads, creates series Bibles, and updates websites. And you can find out more about Jen, her proofing, and her other services at propg.com. That's propg.com. And I am quite thrilled to have her with us today. So welcome to the network, Jen.
Thank you so much, Pat.
Oh, it is my pleasure. This is a very crazy happenstance, actually, that I have to share with you before we get started. The very same moment that I retrieved your email and read your bio about Winnie the Pooh, on the left-hand side of my email page, a quote of the day rotates around for some reason. I really never requested that, but I guess it comes with the email service. But anyway, here's what the quote said. Before beginning a hunt, it is wise to ask someone what you are looking for before you begin looking for it. And do you know who said that?
Winnie the Pooh.
You got it. I thought, oh my gosh, this is crazy. Here I am just reading your bio that says Winnie the Pooh. I look to my left and there's a quote by Winnie the Pooh. So this was meant to be, Jen.
Maybe so.
Well, I am going to take Winnie's advice. And before we begin hunting around your upcoming books and your other author services, I'm going to ask you to share a bit about you and how you came to become interested in writing.
My earliest remembrances of writing is probably around the 6th grade. I remember creating a comic, actually, called Crazy Cat, but not much else. I did a lot of journaling, writing in a diary as a young girl, teenage girl, you know, and all the pains of growing up. It probably really wasn't until about 10 years ago that I started writing fiction for pleasure, and I got a lot out of it. It started off as I ran out of stuff to read, and my husband and I'd read through everything in the library, and my husband said, go on the internet and read fan fiction. Mm. I was like, what is that? He's like, it's stories that people write about other people's characters. So, for example, my first foray into that was Star Trek Voyager fan fiction, and it was basically a virtual season, so, 12 episodes, if you will, stories that read just like an episode would, and I was hooked, so I read a lot of that for a while, and then I thought, you know what, I could do this. So I tried my hand at it, and here I am now seeking publication.
Isn't that something? I always am interested to hear a person's journey to see how they got from where they began to where they are today. There's always lots going on. Now, you've got 4 romance books coming up?
Yes, the first 3 are done. The 4th one, I am one scene away from being done. And letting it sit for a couple of weeks before I review it and send it off to the copy editor. Book 5 needs some revisions, but it's written, and book 6 is percolating. But they're all things I've been working on for a few years and going around in circles of, do I want to do this? Do I not want to do this? I want to do this. Do I not want to do this? And there was a kind of a convergence of circumstances, and I finally just said, okay, I'm doing it.
Yay.
So I gathered up all of these things that I had written over the past few years and tried to clean them up. And there's a couple new things that I wrote new specifically for my project. Mm-hmm. And so just churning away, trying to get everything accomplished on time.
Wow, that's quite a feat to have four of them at the same time come out. Is it a series?
It is a series, kind of a continuity thing. They all take place in a small West Texas town. So just characters kind of show up in each book. Nothing is really plot-wise. They're not necessarily tied together mm-hmm. too tightly.
And those are going to be e-version books on the internet?
Yes, they will be e-books. Maybe in a year, see how everything goes and how they sell, and if I can get the rest of them written and published like I planned, to see how far I can get with it, then I might look at issuing or making available, I guess, paper mm-hmm. paper books.
Wow, what an exciting time for you. Plus, you currently serve as the 2017 Communications Director of the North Texas Romance Writers of America. So, I don't know, girl.
I do. I have been a member of, as we call it, NTRWA for, probably a good decade now.
Wow.
I've served as most positions on the board at this point in time. And so, this year... last year I was treasurer. I handed off my treasurer duties, and this year I am just putting together our newsletter is basically what that header really means. Nothing too complicated or really communications, you know, oriented like we might think of it in mm-hmm. terms of like what you're doing, interviews and stuff.
Now, is this a physical group that gets together physically, or is it all done online?
We are a real chapter. We meet once a month at a restaurant, and we have speakers come in to talk with us about different aspects of writing, or the business of writing, the craft of writing, or of running, you know, of running our writing like a business, and just all kinds of things that help us do a better job mm-hmm. of our craft.
Wow, so you've been with them for a decade. That's a long time.
Yes, but it's good. Those are my people.
About how many people are in that group?
All told, we have about 70, but any given month, there's probably only 25 to 30 of us that actually show up, and it's usually the same 20,
mm-hmm.
And then there'll be 5 to 10 that sort of rotate through. We might see them a month or two, and then not for another few months.
Right.
That kind of thing.
Well, that's good to have that kind of relationship and friendship and camaraderie with others that within the same craft. Kind of lonely, I would imagine, being a writer, and so to get together and kind of share your stories and tips and tricks and those kind of things is very useful.
Absolutely.
Now, let's talk a bit about your services. You mentioned on your website a fresh set of eyes, and I love that because that is just so important. Let's talk about your services that you offer. Let's maybe start with the proofreading.
I know when I've looked at my work for a super long time, I have a tendency to fill in any missing words because I know they're supposed to be there. So my brain plays tricks on me, and I see them there. So I'm sure that happens to many other writers who have been looking at the same piece of work for days and weeks and months on end. Sometimes, you know, we just plop in the first word that comes to mind, and maybe there's a stronger verb that might work better for somebody or for the point they're trying to get across in their work. Or, you know, again, those missing words, or obviously we all are not perfect spellers, so occasionally we misspell words, and it's just easier for somebody who hasn't looked at that same piece of writing for so long to catch those little tiny things that we don't catch ourselves.
No, that's very true. You can read the same thing over and over again that you've written, as you said, and your brain knows what it's supposed to say, and you keep missing it. So that's an important piece. Let's talk about series Bibles.
That is basically a document that, pardon the repetition, documents characters and situations in a series of books. I've done a few. I'm working on the third one for this same author now. And basically, she just has me track things about characters, especially ones that are going to show up over and over and over, so that she can be, she can use the same information, you know, describe the character the same way, or at least give them the same color eyes and the same color hair from book to book.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe vehicles. Her books are romantic suspense, so these guys are all like law enforcement types. So they all have a preference, say, on the type of weapon that they use. So she wants those to be the same from book to book to book. And one of them is like a family. All the children, the books cover all the children. So then she can keep track of, you know, who's older, who's younger, the parents, things that have happened to the family as a whole or one of the characters individually. So she just has that background from book to book, so she can pull in previous information and just make it seem like you're reading about old friends.
Yeah, I bet that would get confusing after a while as the writer, too, to remember all of those little fine points. So that's a
exactly. Mm-hmm. It's just a great reference tool.
Sure, but the reader would surely pick up on that, wouldn't they?
Yes, readers, from the other perspective, I have a group of friends that formed around a TV show many, many moons ago, and we would be watching the show, and something would happen in one episode, and then, you know, several episodes later, they would reference it, but then they would reference it incorrectly, and us fans would be like, wait a minute. That's not what happened.
Mm-hmm.
This is what happened. So, you know, the writers either didn't consult their own Bible or didn't bother to think that that information was important enough to remember. So, but the fans remember, and the readers are the same. They remember those small details from book to book.
Then beta reading, let's talk about that.
That is just a more of an overview. It's not the fine details. Mm-hmm. If someone needs help identifying plot holes, or if they've dropped a plot thread somewhere along the way. Sometimes it's hard for us as writers to see where that happens, or you know something's gone awry, but you just can't really pinpoint it again because you've been so deep inside the story yourself. You know, you're in the forest, so you can't really see it for the trees, and it takes somebody who's got a little bit of a farther view to see where things might have come unraveled for you. So just that's basically the point of a beta reader,
mm-hmm.
to tell you if the story's working, if they think the plot is plausible, or if the heroine is too stupid to live, or just bigger issue things, not the nitty-gritty grammar, spelling, punctuation kinds of things.
Exactly. Now, how do you think you got so good at this, just through all of your years of reading and paying attention?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I do not have a formal education as far as this goes, but I read a ton. I read so much every day for pleasure. I've read my whole life, starting, you know, back in my early elementary years with Winnie the Pooh and Dr. Seuss and you name it. I'm a reader, so all the way up through romance, so I kind of understand the tropes and the nuances of some genres better than others, because I don't read every genre, but enough to know what works and what doesn't. I try to keep up with punctuation. Google is my friend for sure. Mm-hmm. If I'm not sure, then I will Google something or look up in there's a huge book, the Chicago Manual Style. You know, is a lot of publishing houses use that as their guideline, so I do have one of those to reference as well.
Mm-hmm. So romance is your genre, so folks have a manuscript. Will you do the proofing in the Bibles and the beta reading outside of romance, or do you prefer that?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, there's a couple. I'm not a big horror fan at all, so
mm-hmm.
I probably would not accept a horror manuscript, but thrillers. I enjoy thrillers, more political type than other types. But I'm not gonna turn down anything unless it's just something I really am uncomfortable reading.
No, I would imagine that. That's why I asked. I was thinking, well, there's certain topics that you just probably wouldn't want to get involved in. So, but you always have that right to say yes or no.
Absolutely.
So another service you offer is website updating. Let's talk about that.
That's sort of a little hobby of mine. I like to create them, and I've created quite a few in my day. Some of them are fan websites for TV shows and whatnot, but I do also maintain the website for my writer's group. I did not design it. I just update the information. I'm familiar enough with HTML and CSS and other terms that other people might not necessarily understand what the acronyms stand for, but, you know, I understand it enough so that I can go in and make changes without completely destroying somebody's beautifully designed website. So I do NTRWAs, and I have another author friend whose website, I don't have a whole lot of them. I'd like to have more, but, you know, it happens when it happens. So it's just a fun thing to do, to see how different people design and manage and the things that they like to include on their website.
You know, I know so many people that have websites and have no clue how to add anything to it. And every time they want to make a change, they have to have somebody do that for them. So I think that's a really valuable service.
Well, I'd like to think so, hopefully.
Yeah.
I can pick up a few more website updating jobs one of these days. But like I said, I've got a lot of things on my plate, so if it happens, great. If not, well, I do have enough to keep me busy.
Exactly. So. It sounds like you do. And then you've got manuscript cleanup. What do you mean by that?
If you're going to self-publish your book, like if people write in their Word document, Word has a tendency to add a lot of hidden and invisible formatting and things to it as you go. If you like to write in a certain font or a certain size, but when you are ready to upload your document to, for example, say Smashwords, you really want to have a clean document so that there are no errors when it gets outputted on the other end of the process. So I did some research on all the various distributors like Smashwords, CreateSpace, Amazon. They're all places where you can self-publish your work, and they all have guidelines on how to format your manuscripts and whatnot. So I read through all of those and a lot of blogs from authors who have done self-publishing on the best ways to clean up all of those hidden things. So I have, like, I don't know, 25, 27-step document for my reference. So if I get, when I get a document in to do that, then I just go step by step and I, you know, remove all the extra spaces. You know, back in the day when we still did typewriters, you did 2 spaces after the period before the next word. Well, now in the virtual world, that's not really necessary. But some people still key them in or accidentally add a couple, or there's a space at the beginning of their sentence when there shouldn't be. So there's little special ways to find those without, you know, scrolling through the whole document with a fine-tooth comb to find them. Mm-hmm. And so it's just, like I said, I have this 25-step method of finding all those little things and clean them out and give you back a super clean document that's ready to be uploaded to Smashwords or put through some sort of conversion software to get it from a Word doc into a EPUB file or a MOBI file or whatever type of file that you need for your ebook.
Oh, see, now I think that's huge.
It can be a bit daunting.
It's one thing to be a writer, and then it's another thing to do all the mechanics of it. And so then you've got to stop what it is that you like to do and figure all this out. So a person such as
yourself. Definitely a time suck.
It is a time suck. And so if you could hand it off to someone such as yourself, it's a sigh of relief if you ask me. Let's talk a little bit about marketing. So, I mean, if you've spent the last decade with your romance group, anyone coming up with some great ideas that you could pass on to, say, authors who are listening today about how to market and promote books?
That is one area of this whole business that I never paid much attention to. Mm-hmm. But, you know, my friends, my close-knit critique group talks about stuff, and, of course, our writing group as a whole will discuss it on occasion. So there's Facebook ads is a way. A lot of readers are on Facebook, so you can connect with your readers there and take out Facebook ads. There's some companies like BookBub who offer different promotional programs. Amazon has its own like daily deals and stuff if you can get into their programs. I'm not sure. Like I said, I haven't really looked into that, but a good friend of mine does that a lot. Mm-hmm. The Kindle, the KDP Select program allows people to share your books with other friends, sort of like you're just lending them your physical book copy, but then after 2 weeks or something, you know, they lose it and it comes, I don't think you ever didn't have it, but then it disappears off of their system.
Right.
Of course, social media is a big player in connecting with readers and plays a role in marketing. The best advice that I've gotten that I've taken to heart, I like social media, some platforms like Twitter. Twitter I don't get at all, and most of my friends, they are on Twitter, and they get it, and they tweet, and they do all this stuff, but that's not a platform that I really understand and I'm not comfortable with. So I don't know if you're familiar with Kristen Lamb, but she came and spoke to our group, oh gosh, 5 or 6 years ago. And the one thing she said, or I should say one of the things that she said that really stuck with me, is if you're not comfortable with something, mm-hmm. don't do it, because the other people who participate in it with you, they're gonna get that you're not having fun with it. So if you are gonna be on social media, be on something that you enjoy being on. Otherwise, it's not fun for you. And, you know, other people are going to get that it's not a thing that you're comfortable with. So so I'm on Facebook mostly to connect with my family because they're scattered all over the country. So that's just an easy way for me to see what's going on with them.
Right.
But if anybody, you know, wants to find me there, I'm happy to make new friends.
Okay, I thought that was great advice, though, what you just shared, is that if you're not comfortable with a particular platform, then just don't do it.
Yeah, don't force yourself
yes.
to do something that's not fun for you. Now, I do blog. I have a blog. I try to blog 3 days a week. Mm-hmm. I've been doing that for 2007, so I guess 10 years now, so I've built up quite a few blog posts, but that's something I enjoy doing.
Mm-hmm.
It was also another thing Kristen Lamb said was, you know, that's sort of like your tricycle or your bicycle with training wheels. Set a schedule for yourself and meet that deadline to post. That's training for you when you're trying to write a book or you're trying to write articles for a newspaper or a magazine. That just helps you get in the mode of, I have a deadline, I have to meet it, I have to write this thing, and I have to turn it in. Mm-hmm. So I kind of took that advice to heart, and so I've been doing that for a really long time. And that's pretty much my big. If people want to come connect with me and talk with me and find out what I'm doing, that's my comfort zone. Maybe that's not a good thing because they do tell you to step out of your comfort zone every now and again. But that's where all of my history is. So
I like it. I think blogging is very personal. Your fans and readers or people that just happen upon your website can learn a lot from you by reading a blog versus a couple character tweet. Really can't get your personality across in a Twitter post. So I'm with you.
True.
I like what you had to say there. So we've got lots that you do. Is there anything else new on the horizon that we need to share with everyone?
Trying to wear my publisher hat. I just came across a blog by Dean Wesley Smith, and he talks about thinking like a publisher. So I've been reading his words and considering them and thinking, do I need to do those things? Do I not need to do those things in order to publish my books come June? My deadline is my birthday in June. So I'm trying to, you know, juggle all that stuff and figure out, do I just want to be just a published writer, or do I want to be a publisher, not of anybody else's work, but only my own? But mm-hmm. if you wear a publisher hat, formalize it, you know, go down to your local courthouse and get an assumed name and your DBA as, you know, such and such publishing, whatever.
Right.
Being an official publisher opens a few more doors for a published author than just being that independent author mm-hmm. putting his or her books out there without sort of that publishing company umbrella
right.
Over them.
I agree with that. So now you've got something else to do, right?
Oh my gosh, right? I got lists and lists and lists and lists of for different things that I juggle.
Well, that's all right. It's a creative mind, obviously, and that's a good thing. Well, now we touched on a lot of different things, but is there anything we missed that you would like to talk about today?
Support your military, support your local law enforcement,
yes.
All those guys out there working hard to keep us safe, but that's about it. My son is in the Navy. My husband was in the Air Force. My dad was in the Air Force, so lots of military people in my family. So,
well, we appreciate that, and also the donation for this interview goes to our pillowcase project that goes to support homeless veteran shelters where we send handmade pillowcases.
Awesome.
So thank you for that. I appreciate your kindness and generosity with that.
Well, I appreciate anybody who tries to help our veterans. Mm-hmm. That is for sure.
No, I agree. We're of like mind there. Well, now, where can folks go then to learn more about you? And pretty soon, where can they go to purchase your books? Where can we find all of the information and your blog as well?
Oh, my gosh. My proofreading website is www.propg.com. That's basically pro page, if you will. So that has all the information about my services and rates and whatnot. My books will be up at Amazon and Kobo and Google, maybe Google Play. It's hard to get into Google right now, so we'll see how that works out. But Amazon for sure. Under my own name, I'm not using a pen name, jenfitzgerald.com. Oh, my blog. It's jenfitzgerald.blogspot.com is my blog. That's where I can be found 3 days a week rambling about something or other. my books. I have a series website, which is www.10-rigs-texas.com, because that's the name of the town, 10 Rigs, Texas. So it has dashes in between each word, and so it just has some information, even though the books aren't going to be out until June. I'm just trying to get ahead of the game a little bit and get all my ducks in a row.
All right, we can start with the propg.com, propg.com, and your mm-hmm. book is 10-rigs-texas.com, 10-rigs-texas.com. Mm-hmm. All righty, well, lots going on with you. So for those who are listening, if you are an author and need a fresh set of eyes to help with your manuscript, I encourage you to contact Jen Fitzgerald at propg.com. And readers, keep an eye out for her upcoming books, too. Jen, what a pleasure to talk with you today. I appreciate all of your enthusiasm and words of advice that you gave us.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to reach out to folks. And I thank you so much, Pat. I appreciate it.